And here's a little something from Kristen Lem's album Equality Road called Still in Love with You.
Began. Such power fell into a few men's hands. It seemed they had the world at their command for a while. When asked about the dangers, they would smile and say, "It's too cheap to meter, too cheap to meter, too cheap to meter, like the like the sun." While testing over ground out in the west, the army sent its men to watch the test from nearby, and radiation marked those men to die. The weapons contract signed, the treaties made, young producer.
That was two by Kristen Lems, Still in Love with You, and Too Cheap to Meter.
I've been mentioning this to everybody. I can get to stand still for 5 minutes.
And what about people who are users of the computers?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be up in arms. Nobody's told them.
You can tell them.
I overheard one of the manager ladies saying to the construction guys, and I overheard that, and I'm like, really? You're going to disassemble the whole lab and move it somewhere else? On an ad hoc basis. This is the only place you can go read a book, other than the library.
Is there any indication of where they're going to move it might be accessible?
I have no idea. Nobody said a word. Nobody. There's been no notice, no formal documents, nothing. And I was kind of taken aback by the whole process. They're not.
How to play the guitar that was younger.
Any other thoughts before I collapse in a heap?
No. No, that'll do it.
You've been talking with?
James.
Thanks, James.
They're ticketing me again.
They're ticketing you again? They like you. They want to get a little connection with you.
They've already gotten that, and they just wanted to, to reassure it.
They need to do something with their time. Otherwise, why would they keep their jobs?
Well, they'd like to come talk to me.
And in case I don't mention it shortly, this, of course, is Dreamcatcher, who is a frequent speaker on this program. And also, he's the one person who I've gotten more tickets from, again, for sleeping, being in a closed area, lying down, things of that sort that have nothing to do with any real crimes, but simply with homeless status.
Thank you, too.
I really do believe that.
And, of course, we've been talking to
Dreamcatcher, and things are getting better.
How many tickets have you gotten in the last week?
I've received probably one a day.
It's like a vitamin, one a day, brand ticket.
Right, she shows up. I like my ticket giver.
So it's a gentle and a good approach.
She's very pleasant, very nice. 32 waist? Really? I need them. You're kidding.
There's been a delivery of a pair of jeans. And we've been talking with...
Now I'm a rock star!
Yeah, look at that.
I don't think I got
that. It's a pair of pants. We're going to leave it here.
I see the pair of Fat Alberts in a long time.
Hey, it's Fat Albert!
The Fat Albert Show!
Thank you, Dreamcatcher.
Oh, that's really good.
And there you have it.
I'm Cat Smith.
And Cat, what do you got for us?
I found out today, I saw a woman playing a 5-string fiddle, and I gave away an invention for a 5-string fiddle and a cello recently, and now it came out, and I got to enjoy watching this beautiful person play this fiddle. And I didn't want no money. Everybody said I could get money for it. I'm like, why do I want money? It's the joy of just watching music progress and knowing that you're part of it like everybody else.
Could it be said that you were fiddling around?
I was fiddling around, sir.
Fair enough. Anything else?
No, you're a cool person and you're beautiful people. That's about it.
Thank you. We've been talking with?
Cat Smith.
Thanks, Cat.
Hi, my name is Rana Ghana. I actually am a board member of the Challenger newspaper, which is a homeless newspaper out of Austin, Texas. I've been writing for them for more than 40 years. And I've been, we finally got a shelter built for them. But yeah, I noticed out here that they have a lot of, there's a lot of like really powerful like street drugs out here, but there's not enough free marijuana like there is in Austin.
Now, will you be, shall we say, importing marijuana to...
Well, what I'm saying is I think that the legalization program here, which in Texas, it's not technically legal. All they have is a tax stamp back. I think it's actually made the community worse because people are now price gouging tourists, veterans, and the disabled for their weed instead of having it all at the same price like it is in Texas. So that's the only main thing I've noticed about here in Santa Cruz.
How long have you been here?
I've been here for probably a little over 5 months.
And I know Austin, years ago, overturned a sleeping ban. Is there a ban against sleeping outside in Austin?
There's a tent city, an official tent city through the city of Austin that was started when Occupy Austin started. It's still being kept up through the Challenger newspaper, which if you go to the Challenger newspaper meetings, they can tell you where the sites are. We currently have a 17 square mile area out in the Greenbelt that we've been able to set up the tent city at consistently, which
is
good.
How many people are in the tent city?
Technically, there's people, like, it's such a huge area that all you really have to do is go to a Challenger newspaper meeting and they'll tell you where the site is and you can just go there.
Do we have any estimates how many people actually use it?
I'm going to guess there's probably about 20 people that are camped out in that 17 miles, but it's a huge area of the Greenbelt. There's a river running through it with waterfalls. It's right by Barton Creek Mall, so it's in a really good location.
How many people are in Austin? What's the population?
There's approximately, I believe it's like 800-something thousand people in Austin right now. The homeless population has actually doubled in the last 2 years. It's like over 5,000 people now, where when I was there, it was like hanging out at around 2,200. That was just a couple of years ago.
What do you attribute this to?
Austin has really, really good homeless services, and as our population grows and more disaster victims start to move to Austin because of the presumed warm weather, because it's in the south, that's all it is. So, yeah, there's just, you know, the healthier we are and the more we survive as a human race, there's naturally going to be more homeless people because they're just people. I mean, we're all born homeless. We don't have houses grafted onto our umbilical cords when we're in the womb. And that's never going to happen. So technically, as a race, we are all homeless. And there's nothing that we could do about that. Unless we start to do things to take care of homeless people, the homeless people are going to become everybody, and then everybody's just going to be homeless. So then what? We're just like, nobody gets to go into any buildings? I don't know about that.
Or the rich only.
Oh, of course, the 1%. I like to think of myself as the 0.5%, actually, but Austin works a little differently. They finally came out and admitted, Judge Sarah Eckhart admitted that the Housing First program, which is a blanket program in the city of Austin. In Austin, the Housing First program is to send homeless people directly to jail, which is federal tax fraud, because they already have billions of dollars that are being sent to fund the jails themselves. The money that's meant for the homeless people is a completely different tax funding for the city of Austin. But the problem is that there is no funding to cover the oversight to make sure that doesn't happen. So it's just going to keep happening forever.
So as the Challenger newspaper challenged this?
Yeah, the Challenger newspaper actually used to be called The Advocate. It was started by Richard Troxler, who's head of House the Homeless.
And he's remember him.
You know him? Yeah.
Well, 25 years ago or 15 years ago.
Yeah, he's still there. He's actually the one that founded it. I believe he's on city council now or something like that.
Uh-oh.
He wrote a book recently about universal living wage, something like that. But yeah, no, the city of Austin does a lot of stuff. You can look up challengernewspaper.org. My pen name is The Lone Spanger, but my real name is Rana Ghana, but I've only gone by that a few times because, you know, the downtown of Austin is still a really small area, and I've done a lot of media there, so I don't want people to, like, go crazy every time they see me. So I just use a pen name most of the time. I have impersonators, which is cool, but yeah, there's some free articles on there, but if you really want to get on the ground floor of homeless reform activism, or just being a part of a government system that wants to help, because the Challenger is technically part of the local government in Austin. And Austin is really, it's actually the capital of the states. Washington, D.C. is the federal capital. A lot of people forget about that. So if you really, really want to make a strong impact, just get involved in a local outreach group or activism group or, you know, things like Food Not Bombs, which is where I'm at right now. That's the best thing to do. Just go out there and let your voice be heard. Write down your stories and send them in.
Are you outside here at the moment?
Yeah. I moved to Watsonville a couple of days ago. I think I'm going to stay out there because the camping's better out there.
Have you spent any time with the survival sleepers at City Hall?
You know what? I think it was the first week that I was here. I did try to stay there one night and I got ticketed instantly.
What was the ticket for?
I believe it was lying down.
And was this at night or in the day?
This was at night. This was about 2 a.m. And here's the thing. I actually had a security guard come by and tell me that it was okay for me to sleep there. And not even, like, I think it was probably maybe 4 hours later, it was around 2 a.m., that, like, a pack, like, literally a gang of five cops show up, and they give me a ticket. And it was really funny because she's like, oh, you can just have it thrown out in court. And I'm like, you don't understand. I'm not a U.S. citizen. I'm a resident alien. I've been living here since I'm 35. Since I was 3, and I'm 36 now, actually, 35. I just turned 36. And every single time I get even a ticket, I have to wait another 7 years to apply for my citizenship. I told that to the lady, and she laughed, like, ha, 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 I get to be a dick.
Do we know the name of this fine officer?
Yeah, it's every officer that's ever given me a ticket. That was just the first ticket I got in Santa Cruz.
Did you get more?
Oh, yeah. I like to think that, you know, I have, like, a theoretical scrapbook of all the tickets that I will never, ever pay for.
How many tickets would you say you've got?
I have a criminal record that you could probably...
In Santa Cruz?
In Santa Cruz, I've gotten at least 3. I think it's 3 tickets, yeah.
And are these for sleeping, or have you been engaging in assault and battery?
Oh, it's literally, like, sitting or sleeping. I think I got, yeah, they were all for sleeping, actually. Or lying down is what they called
sleeping
it.
Sleeping is against the law in Santa Cruz after 11 o'clock at night. You know that, right?
Well, that's what the local Reichstag unit here in Santa Cruz likes to get down on. In Austin, you know, they're more about, like, going after petty theft and stuff. Because such a big tourist city. I don't know, whatever, Sieg Heil cops. I'm still better than you are.
Have you had any problems keeping your property in one place? In other words, there's been some concern about property theft, both by city officials and police, and by other people.
I've had police officers sexually assault me before. So technically,
Santa Cruz?
There's really, no, this was in Austin. So technically, there's really nothing that the police could steal from me that they haven't already taken from me physically. I don't know. I'm not really worried about homeless people trying to steal from me because homeless people actually, you know, need this stuff or can get it for free or they need it for, like, some other thing. And in that case, if all they want to do is steal my stuff, you know, at least they're not trying to get my kidneys out, which is what somebody who's a police officer or works in a hospital would want to do to get their fix. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, it's a fucked up world.
And we've been talking to a homeless activist named...
Rana Ghana. That's R-A-N-A. Last name is G-H-A-N-A.
Thank you, Rana Ghana.
Have a good one, y'all.
So I'm talking with the cook, cable carrier, lecture listener to her, and various other thinger. Yeah. Keith McHenry. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, I am now going... I'm cooking currently for... We're trying to cook for at least 200 people.
Because it's April 30th, at the end of the month.
Yeah, for the end of the month. And then I'm also preparing the food partially for tomorrow, which is May Day. Mm-hmm. I've got 2 meals for that and another 200 people. And then I've got the Freedom Sleepers the next day. So that's going to be interesting. So I've got I've got 800 people total, maybe, that I'm trying to get food for in 4 days' time.
Sounds like a minor task.
And I was interviewing Keith right outside the discussions with Seattle ex-police chief Stamper, Norm Stamper, who had been a speaker at the Police Review Board discussion some days before at the Resource Center for Nonviolence, which I believe was videoed by Salinas activist Wes White. You can find it on his website, rather on the YouTube channel. John Doe 13K is what you put into YouTube to find Wes White's videos. He's also done a number of videos here in Santa Cruz of social justice issues, most specifically having to do with poor and homeless people. Most of the subsequent talk by Norm Stamper, which Keith was coming from, and he was sort of loading up his truck outside the Red Church on this Sunday afternoon. But what we did discover briefly, because we were together in the audience for a few minutes before it ended, the unfortunate thing about this particular event, which is organized by the local ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, which is generally pretty useless, as I've told many people for many a year, and not that it couldn't be otherwise, it conceivably could be otherwise, but it hasn't been, and so I've always advised people, talk to people really concerned about civil liberties and get them involved in other groups that actually do something about civil liberties. But in any case, what happened at this meeting was, as with the previous ACLU meeting involving four individuals talking about police review, including Councilmember Sandy Brown, former police review member John Malkin, Norm Stamper himself, former police chief of Seattle, and Samora Michelle, I believe her name is, a one-time Santa Cruz attorney who has joined the San Francisco, like, Office of Civilian Complaints, which has got a different name now, which is a body that sort of goes tut-tut when the police department up in San Francisco shoots another person, but doesn't tend to go much further than that. But the issue for me is always, of course, what's happening in Santa Cruz with police misconduct, and what are we doing to at least expose it, publicize it, and shout about it so we know the rest of the community gets to be familiarized with the real story rather than the establishment propaganda. And the questions that were allowed from the audience were carefully filtered onto little 3x5 cards that were then somewhat altered by the guy who was kind of master of ceremonying the event, a nice enough guy. Talked to him afterward a little bit. But a person who essentially watered things down, according to activist Keith McHenry. And I think his name was Les, I'm not sure. I could have that wrong. The issue I had was, if someone wants to raise a question, they should stand up and ask the question. And that's the best way to do it. Not have it, write it on a little card and have it sent off to the side of the room and done in a very sort of very quiet way. The problem with that is that it encourages a, first of all, a form of submissiveness in the audience, usually being done under the pretext that, well, if you allow people to ask questions, they'll make long speeches, which can happen, but the way to deal with that is to have a strong chair that cuts it short. Say, hey, what's the question? What's the question? Then you move on to the next person. But that doesn't happen in Santa Cruz, either at the public events involving city council member candidate speeches or even, you know, supposedly so liberal a group as the ACLU. But let's hear some more of Keith's lament as he packs up his van, leaving this Norm Stamper discussion of Seattle Police Review, or what lessons he learned about how to create better police departments.
A little bit of work I'm doing in my spare time. Anything coming up in the next week after Thursday that you want to mention that might be of note to our listeners?
I'm going to be sleeping.
I see.
On Thursday.
That's going to be of note to our listeners? Well, I'm not sure about that. We just came from a talk by Norm Stamper at the Calvary Episcopal after a showing of the movie, I don't know what it was called. This is Hell or something.
Resist. Something
about resist. Oh, you must resist, or time to resist, or resist is fun, or something.
Something like that. Right?
And now, what did you think, A, of the movie, if you saw it?
And the name of the movie is Do Not Resist. Quite a powerful movie, although, again, about cities far away, and, you know, a year or two ago, at least. Ferguson, for one.
And B, the... oh, dear.
The movie was very good. And I saw it a while back, or a couple of days. I saw the movie a couple of days ago.
You have a copy of the movie?
I don't have a copy, but it's a good movie. And that reminds me. And then, so that was very good.
I wish I could give you the name of the movie, because I don't know if it's online or not, but it...
it's Resist something.
Something about Resist.
Do not resist.
My concern, of course, is that this has very little to do with Santa Cruz in terms of specifics about our police situation, and nor was the question and answer period tightly controlled by little cards that people had to give up there. And then the questions apparently were also, as I think you mentioned to me during the whole thing, changed around
should we say?
The Resist is in there.
Ah, yes. And so the name of the movie that we saw was, I'm looking at the last real news movie thingamabob, Do Not Resist. That's correct. So it's actually a sort of a, what the police might say to you. As I see, you're resisting, beat, beat, beat. Oh, wait, I'm not resisting, you're resisting, that sort of thing. Keith, you've done movies, or your people working with Food Not Bombs have done movies. Are there any places where people can view those videos?
Well, if you go to YouTube, Google Food Not Bombs and YouTube, and they're all on there.
Anything recent, anything having to do with Santa Cruz?
We do have on the Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs YouTube channel, like harassment of the person Gregory, who died the next day, and stuff like that.
Gregory is a recent casualty?
Yeah, he died, according to the coroner's office, from an injury that he sustained over 30 years ago, but there was complications of, and he was walking towards the library about 2 o'clock the day that video was made.
That was what, last week?
Last Tuesday, yeah. I think we were out there Tuesday night, and it was Wednesday morning. And wow, that's no longer working. And he sadly died at the corner of Church and Center.
Interesting. That's a video that is available.
Yeah, that's one of the last videos. We also have videos of the police coming and taking all the belongings of people that were neatly stacked up in front
police
of...
Police or rangers?
I think police in that case. Stacked up there at City Hall.
Now, you mentioned the survival sleepers, the people who hang out at the City Hall, sleep there, seek refuge under the eaves of the buildings, have been around the last couple days, and you've actually been checking in on them occasionally?
Yeah, we go every day, and it's been for days now. And what we are finding is like something like almost 30-some people some nights are there. Last night was, I think we counted 25 people, which is pretty remarkable. And so anyway, that's what we've been finding. Now, unfortunately, I have to go get water for this meal and go back to cooking it.
you have a number of things you have to do, but I want to let you know that I'm on your team all the way, even though
you
I'm absolutely helping not a bit.
That's great and normal.
As usual. We've been talking with
Keith McHenry with Food Not Bombs. Oh, my God, I need help.
How can people help you? What do you think?
We need people to help us cook noon to 3 at India Joe's, 418 Front Street, and then on Saturdays and Sundays, and we need help serving food from about 3 o'clock all night long at the Freedom Sleepers, and the next big action is on May 9th, which may be Tuesday, May 9th, where we're going to march from the county building to the
post office
fence, and from the post office fence to City Hall, and then we're asking everyone to bring blankets and sleeping bags to go into City Hall and do that.
Maybe sort of crash out at the City Council.
Yeah.
Invite the City Council to join us.
Correct, yeah. That's kind of stuff.
And we've been talking with
Keith McHenry, County Food Not Bombs.
Five more times.
Keith McHenry, call me anytime.
Keith McHenry.
1,800,000,000.
Thank you.
Okay.
Weird. So I'm talking with
Kathy.
Kathy, you say that today was unusually police heavy?
I'd say so.
What time did you notice this?
Around 4:30.
And where did you notice this?
Everywhere.
So name a couple of the spots.
We're by Metro, around the corner, over here, and it seemed like everywhere I walked they were around.
Now, are these officers on foot or in cars?
In cars.
how many cars would you estimate you saw?
Five, if not six.
Did you wave at them as you walked by?
I should have.
And are you? Will you be sleeping out tonight?
No, I'll be sleeping here.
At the church program. Yes. How is the program going?
It's going quite well.
Is it full or is there vacancies?
Right now I think there's a couple vacancies in the men's spots, but I think the women's side's full.
Sounds good. You know, do folks ever sleep outside that are nearby who can't get in the program because it's full? Or in other words, if folks are... I've heard in the past people would sleep outside even because the program itself is full. Some folks would sleep by the edges of the building.
I haven't heard that. I know they're not able to unless requested by the pastor. I don't know.
Yeah, I got you. Anything else you want to pass on except your love for the police protection?
Yeah, that's what I felt like today. I'm being protected, I guess. I don't know. I just know every time I turned around, there was a police officer around. So.
Thank you. We've been talking with
Kathy.
Thanks, Kathy.
And several years ago, it used to be common practice for people to sleep along the sides of the Red Church building. This could have been before the Association of Faith Communities had their Monday night a group of 20 people sleeping inside the church. Or it could simply be that it was made harsher because of pressure from hostile neighbors, such as Cynthia Matthews, who not only lives nearby, but actually owns another house, the historic house next to the Jack's Hamburgers Institution. And it may still be that people are still sleeping around the edges of the Red Church. I don't know, although I haven't heard of anybody doing that.
Julie Shaw.
You say Trader Joe's has an anxious guard there?
It seems as if he might be having a down day today. Yes, his name is Bill Nash. I think he's with Allied Security Services, and he patrols inside the store. And I felt that he might have been profiling.
Why did you feel this?
He was following closely, and it was actually causing other customers to kind of look at me as if suspect. Like, you know, if the security guard is profiling her, surely she's up to no good.
Well, we know you're up to no good, Julie.
Well, he says I'm a troublemaker. I've been labeled.
Well, I'm glad that somebody finally got you where you're headed.
Exactly. So anyway, I actually confronted him and said, you know, it's unfortunate when you follow me because people, 51 years old, I have a clear record. I haven't been stealing things, and I have a clear conscience. So what seems to be the problem?
Which he replied.
I feel as if it's me against 8,000 transients, is what he said. He says,
him a big hug.
No, I think he I don't know where his state of mind is right now, but I think that he's feeling very frustrated about, I asked him, well, do you feel like you're being targeted by 8,000 transients? And he said, no, not particularly, but they're always trying to steal from the store, and it's my job to make sure nobody steals anything. And I said, well, when you're following me closely as if I'm suspect, the people in the community think that I might be suspect, and you know, it's very uncomfortable, especially when there are, you know, minor children around as well are being profiled. That's not acceptable. I've been shopping at Trader Joe's since 2002. I've never had any problems. This is the first time. And so I told the manager maybe he's just having a down day. So I really don't know what.
Did he back off?
Well, no, he threatened to call the police on me, Mr. Nash.
What, for talking to him?
He said I was loitering.
Well, yeah, clearly. What's wrong with you?
I was addressing the issue just to find out, you know, if there was a problem because I just was concerned. So anyway, I've never seen that happen before. I don't know if you've had any reports, but I just want to let people know that Mr. Nash is feeling uncomfortable, and I don't know whether we...
What does he look like?
Oh, I don't know, elderly Caucasian gentleman. Anyway, but maybe we buy him chocolates or flowers, or is there anything we could do to help him feel more comfortable and with his position? I don't know what we could do.
You get a different position, I would think.
Since we're
at church, we prayed for him, so maybe that will help.
Well, you pray for him, and he preys on you.
I know.
It's all very fair.
Serve and protect or seek and destroy, I don't know.
We've been talking with...
Julie Shaw.
Whose reports can be found in...
Oh, well, I volunteer information for a couple of agencies, one of them being the Santa Cruz Homeless Persons Legal Project, but also I heard that there was a bunch of police activity maybe up at UCSC today. How are they doing up there?
Well, I know this was the May 1st, you know, International Workers' Day, and there are people at the town clock, I noticed, as I drove over here, but I haven't received any reports, nor have I really been looking for much, so I'll probably hear more about it later.
Okay, because we were going to plan on going up there later on this afternoon so I could check up on my emails and everything. That seems to be a place that actually bridges the digital divide up at the university, so that's one of the only couple of places in town where I can actually get online without getting harassed for being a troublemaker, so...
And again, we've been talking with...
Julie Shaw.
Of?
Santa Cruz Full-Timer, Santa Cruz Safe Parking, Santa Cruz Citizen.
All on Facebook.
Correct. So far, so good. But, you know, I understand that if people want to maybe push back against the gentrification and mass surveillance and profiling going on in town, they might want to become, which I'm considering, becoming Yelp Elite reviewers. So maybe we can start writing reviews on Yelp about how we're being treated at certain establishments. It might have to go there. I don't know. I might become a Yelper, I guess. I don't know what they're called. So.
Yelper sounds like the word. I want to ask you for a third time because we know who you are.
Okay.
I began to talk about this. Earlier in the show. There are a couple of stories on the Santa Cruz Indie Media website about the black student reclamation or takeover. They don't like the word occupation. Of Kerr Hall up there. I'm going to read a little bit from Indy Bay, but I wish I had somebody actually who was involved in the protest, and maybe I will come Sunday. It's possible, depending on how long the protest goes on, whether the demands are met. And let me begin with the demands, because that to me seems to me to be the most important and interesting thing, and hopefully it will be the kind of thing that gets specific with the Santa Cruz Call to Conscience March, the No Penalty for Poverty March that's coming up on May 9th. Our demands, they write online, the African Black Coalition, African Black Student Alliance at the University of California. Our demands for the reclamation are simple now. They are as follows. 1. Similar to EOP students and international students' housing guarantees, we demand that all African and Black Caribbean identified students have a 4-year housing guarantee to live in the Rosa Parks African American themed house. Guaranteeing this would provide a viable living option to all ABC identified students, All Black Coalition, or African Black Coalition. Regardless of housing status and college affiliation, we demand a written agreement by the opening of housing applications in April 2017. It sounds like this thing was cooked up in March, and this reclamation occupation of the building, as I call it, might be a response to the fact that these demands are not being met. Second demand, we demand the university remove the beds and release the Rosa Parks African-themed house lounge so it can serve its original purpose. We demand the lounge be returned by fall of 2017. 3, we demand the university fund the entire exterior of the Rosa Parks African-American-themed house being painted Pan-African colors, red, green, and black, by the start of the spring quarter 2017. These Pan-African colors represent Black liberation and represent our diaspora and the goals of our people. And 4, we demand that all new incoming students from 2017-2018 school year forward, first years and transfers, go through a mandatory in-person diversity competency training in the event that the online module is not implemented by June 2017. We demand that the training be reviewed and approved by the African Black Student Alliance Board every 2 years. We demand that every incoming student complete this training by their first day of class. And I wonder where, for me, I guess, I'm always looking for the demands to stop the most toxic and omnipresent kind of abuse by law enforcement authorities, by businesses, by banks, by in housing discrimination. And often students are expressing concerns for the broader community. This may well be happening in some other context. It doesn't seem to be happening here in this particular article. But again, I'm only dealing with a couple of stories on Santa Cruz Indie Media. I encourage people to find out what's going on yourselves. Go up to Kerr, talk to students, see what's happening. Huff itself, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with, spent some time researching racial discrimination in the downtown area in terms of harassment of poor people, of whom African Americans make up a small but significant minority here in Santa Cruz and seem to be disproportionately targeted in terms of their population in the community. And I would have to say also in terms of their population in the homeless community as well, although that is a stat which I don't know we researched as closely as the stat about being a much greater number of tickets given than the percentage of homeless people in the actual Santa Cruz community. Black people in the Santa Cruz community, the number of, in other words, blacks are disproportionately targeted and ticketed, or were, in the downtown area. Trying to repeat the examination of the citations, the police department declined our request to give us race statistics when we asked for that a couple years ago, you know, under the great liberal Obama. Although I know Obama does not control the police, it was, of course, Kevin Vogel, our retiring police chief, who controlled the police and controls the police. And, of course, over him is city manager Martin Bernal. In any case, this is happening up on campus. I'm going to take a closer look here. On the Facebook page, it's an internet, AfricanBlackCoalition.org. There's a story from May 2nd, black students at UC Santa Cruz protest hostile campus. And it's pretty much, the story is on Indie Bay as well. Who we are, the African Black Student Alliance, is an African Black Caribbean ABC student-led and student-run organization on the campus of the University of California at Santa Cruz. It was founded, and it serves as a place and a space for ABC students to learn together, to teach together, to offer support for the various racialized macro and microaggressions, and also to challenge each other around some harmful ideologies we may hold towards practicing a fuller love for all black people. We are an organization that's about centering the liberation of all black people. We do realize and are aware of many of our limitations as well as the power we hold as an organization that is contextually specific in and to a Western academic institution in the United States. We are undergraduate and graduate students in the humanities, the arts, and the sciences. We are on-campus and off-campus workers. We are Muslim, Christian, atheist, and independently spiritual. We are queer and trans, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and straight. We are from the working poor, working class, and middle and upper class backgrounds and those attendant realities. We are black nationalists, black internationalists, pan-Africanists, Afro-futurists, Afro-pessimists, and Afro-utopians. We are migrants, immigrants, refugees, and American-born. We are descendants of forcefully enslaved African people in the Americas, as well as the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth generation immigrant and migrant children. We are capitalists, anti-capitalists, and anarchists. We are everything because blackness is everything. With this said, and with the liberation of all of us on our minds, we know that we cannot tolerate anti-black racism and colorism, sexism and misogynoir, homophobia, transphobia, and queerphobia, or heterosexism and patriarchy. We cannot allow these forced impositions to go unchecked and unchallenged in our space. We are committed to this. We believe in the power of unity across intra-communal differences, which means that we believe in the power of unity experienced in and through calling each other to be accountable to one another. We understand that to rebuild our communities, sometimes things will have to fall apart, or at least it will appear that way. We are well aware that we are in one of the many rebuilding stages of the process with the ABSA, and we invite all African, Black, and Caribbean ABC students to come back into the space to build and rebuild across all the differences we have among us. In so many ways, we're all we have here, and the Chancellor's response to the demands we put forward should be a clear indication of this very real fact. And that's only a part of what you'll find on the African Black Coalition website. And this reaction is that I'm always glad when people assert their rights and assert their needs, even in dramatic ways, because I don't think there's any other way that they get heard and that they get action or that they encourage others to join them with any kind of solidarity. I'm always also pleased to see when there's a broader movement. And while it's certainly true that people of color are getting the shaft at a far greater ratio and tempo than the rest of us honkies, is also true that I think, well, perhaps as an ancient 60s liberal, I still have the sense that it's good to be inclusive as much as one can be. And indeed, it sounds inclusive, the rhetoric that you're hearing, and it is, in a sense, but based simply on color, I guess it's people are being oppressed, saying, fuck off, we're not going to be oppressed anymore, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. And it's amazing how absurdly superficial and yet toxic oppression is based on skin color. It's just ridiculous and devastating. Anyway, I don't know if they're still up there in Kerr, but who knows? Maybe I may swing up there to take a look, or hopefully if anybody wants to report in, call 423-4833 with any news reports, and I'll pass on the word for my Sunday broadcast. You're, of course, tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. This is Robert Norris speaking. And again, you can reach me at 423-4833, and I will get back to you if you leave me a message.
Brian Taylor.
Go ahead, Brian.
I was sitting on a bench downtown, and obviously it's difficult to sleep at night sometimes. And I have a lot of medical issues, so I take like 14 different medications. And so I start to nod out sometimes.
Right. Well, it's illegal after 11 o'clock at night.
Well, this was during the daytime where everyone else is sleeping.
Well, we don't want you to do it on the day either. In fact, we prefer that you go 30 miles away, or maybe 100 miles away.
Well, with a disabled person, I ain't going. I'm lucky if I can get from one side of town to the other side of town.
Yeah.
So she was okay about it, but then she came back again and said, "You got to move on."
And I said, "We're sitting on a bench."
Yeah.
So where was this?
Sleeping on the bench. Down by the restaurant.
Which restaurant?
I mean, not restaurant, the El Palomar.
Uh-huh. Who was the officer who told you this?
A little lady. I'd never seen her before. So
light blue or dark blue?
She was green.
Ah, a ranger.
Yeah. She called herself a sheriff. That's what was funny. And I did.
She's a deputy. That would be brown rather than green.
Yeah, no, it was. I'm pretty sure it was green, but I could be wrong. But I've only been homeless here for about 10 days, 14 days or so. So I'm trying to survive. I'm disabled and they cut off my disability. I have nothing. I have no money, no food, no place to sleep.
Other than the once a week meal that shows up here.
I was one of the nice ladies who cooks in there was down on Pacific and told me, because I was asking, are you going to eat your leftovers? And a lot of people say, oh, no, here, go ahead. And she said, oh, show up here tonight.
One day a week. And again, we've been talking with
Brian Taylor.
Anything you want to add, Brian?
God is good.
Thank you. Let's hope humanity gets better, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's hear some of the music of Lee and Company. Enough of that. Like, what's the scoop?
The scoop is May 1st. Shut it down. Solidarity.
Today is May 1st. Aren't you a little late with that announcement?
It ain't over till it's over. Monday is today. We started out with a 5 o'clock blockade at noon and rallied at the main gate. And right now you can still make
the outdoor party in the beach flats.
In the beach flats.
At 6:30. I'm afraid that got to hustle to do that.
Just started.
It's the standard announcement, folks. This is Freedom Sleep Out number 95 coming up tomorrow night at City Hall. Of course, every night it's the Survival Sleep Out. For those who decide to sleep there, I don't, but some do. And it's for some folks who are sleeping at City Hall. It's no guarantees about not being harassed. But it is a bunch of people together, and that might mean something. I'm giving out a flyer which has some tips, which I've given out to many of you, survival guides for survival sleepers. I don't sleep outside, so a lot of you know about this stuff a lot better than I do. But you can check it out if you're interested. I'll remind you that to avoid camping tickets, or to leak, if you get them, to have them dismissed short of court, call this number, 459-6644, it's on here, and tell them I want on the waiting list, even if you have no intention of going to the River Street shelter, which is what the number is. If you're on the waiting list, you don't get your ticket sent to court if they give you one. So it's, well, that's what they tell me anyway. So try doing that. It's one way of avoiding that, hopefully. And if you have anything you want to talk to me about for free radio, that's what I'm doing, wandering around interviewing. Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know. I'll catch you on the remote.
You'll talk to me later. All that wander are not lost, brother. All that wander are not lost.
That's very true.
How's it go?
All who wander are not lost. Right.
Come on, man.
How many people have gotten tickets in the last week? Raise your hands, please. That's pretty good. Only two people.
No, I got seven tickets.
You got seven tickets. You should raise your hand seven times, I guess. Yeah, right. We're talking with
Claudio Martinez.
Claudio, we're here at the City Hall. It's May 1st, May Day, and you were saying that last night, April 30th, there was all quiet on the City Hall front.
Yeah, no first alarm, and not that I know of. Unless I slept through it, I don't think the police even came. It went without an incident all night.
Did you sleep on the bricks inside the courtyard or on the sidewalk?
On the sidewalk.
How many people would you say were staying in the actual forbidden courtyard?
I don't think anybody in the courtyard. Probably 20 on the sidewalk.
Wow. And were people also spread out over to the Civic and to the Greek Orthodox and library?
It seems like since the rain stopped, it's pretty much centralized right here on the sidewalks in front of the City Hall.
And relations between folks have been pretty good?
What's that?
Relations between folks have been pretty good.
Yeah, there's been some squabbles, but you know, like you can tell right now, there are some squabbles, as you can tell. This is one right now, boy. But,
and there's a confrontation here. We'll pause briefly.
No, actually, it's been a pretty mellow, actually.
We get you hospitality.
And this is a dispute between two women, and I heard different accounts. But what I noticed most was that this is rare. At least every time when I've been there, it's been rare. This is the first time I've seen such a thing in quite a while. and no one was injured, no one was taken to the hospital, no one was even arrested, though I think 7 to 9 police officers showed up. And I'll play a little more of it, as you'll hear me describing somewhat sarcastically the arrival of the police. They weren't necessary to... let's put it this way. A few police officers present were sufficient to separate the two women and to restore, if you will, peace. Instead, we had a huge force of people coming down. Again, 4, 5, 6 squad cars and more than that number of cops.
Unfortunately,
here's your water.
You get out of here right now, I'm going to press charges.
Three police officers
in my car. You get out of here right now, I'm going to press charges. I will let it go if you get out right now.
Chili tuna?
I will let you go right now.
Charge, babe. I ain't going nowhere, babe.
You spilled tuna water, you're crazy. Okay.
Hi, guys.
Hey. How we doing?
The Canada's arrived.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Some other folks. And the guys seem to be putting on their gloves for some reason. I don't know why that would be.
And I'm referring to the police officers putting on their gloves.
Hi. Hi, miss.
And these are gloves that are the kind of surgical gloves or sanitary gloves that are used to, I don't know, dispose of dirty things.
I need to talk to you.
Okay.
You come out here and sit on the
curb. Can I get my things together real quick?
We'll watch your stuff. Come on here and sit on the curb for me, please.
You're good. I'll let you go.
Isn't a lieutenant and another police officer who are interrogating one of the two who were concerned about... Actually, both women are being interrogated. And Holly is crossing the street. And the sergeant directs the other woman to sit down. And they're requesting ID from her. Meanwhile, Abby has arrived with a camera. This was the time when Freedom Sleepers were going to be meeting here. And there's another police car arriving, as if three officers weren't enough to deal with this situation. With a canine unit included. Whoa.
What's your last name?
One of the women is called Officer Barry. I mean, the woman is called Barry.
You've got to hang tight here.
And while the printing on the side of the police car was canine unit, I didn't see any dog either stick its muzzle out or hit the street. So I don't want to overly exaggerate the excessive force that was present in the situation. Present, although not used directly on the people, just perhaps as a form of intimidation or maybe as police recreation. Not quite sure how I'd put it. And we have two more police officers have arrived, a female police officer and another man, which makes four men. And hi.
Yes, sir, how are you?
Oh, you know, how are you?
I'm here.
Yeah, me too. And Steve Plage is giving away brownies to folks. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
All right. And there seems to be one of the women is being interrogated on one side of the street by the two officers. The other is being walked down the street by another two officers. And meanwhile, the Freedom Sleepers are clustering, and here come two more officers, as if five were not enough. We got two more cops. Sorry?
You ever hear from Lucero?
Not a word.
I think she's in Southern California.
Could be. So, hey, we're having a convention here, folks. We need some more police officers here. Thank you. So...
How come you started the bunch?
Well, I had to do something. I'm getting bored.
You'd do anything for a story.
Anything. It's true. What can I say? So now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then, and then two more police officers went around the corner, sort of gathering around. But on the upside, only two of them have their black gloves on, so that's always very nice. It's always sort of a sad sign when police officers put on their black gloves. It's very depressing for those of us who are watching. And we have Officer Pisano. How are you doing, Officer? And Norris, actually. And why such a clustering of police officers? It's an interesting question. But so far, no answers to the public. There doesn't seem to be a riot here. There doesn't seem to be a flood. There's no one being shot. There's no crime scene. It's a gathering of police officers. Very interesting. It's also a gathering of homeless people who need a place to sleep at night and have no place to go. We hope the police officers will respect that tonight, as they have often in the past.
Although, just as often, not respected that, lest I be seen as a police apologist.
Anyway, I will pause briefly. The time is about 7:05, 7:10. Or maybe it's one more police officer showing in another station wagon this time. So that makes two squad cars that are visible, a station wagon and another squad car behind the city hall. It's always good to know that police officers have little to do other than come here at city hall. I guess it's a way of kind of a community gathering in a way, but not really, actually. And the officers are just sort of chatting with each other. We have, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, counting the two individuals who are in a conflict, 9, 10, maybe 12 or so, 13 people. A lot of homeless possessions. Two of the police officers are taking up. We may need your protection, gentlemen, if you could just stay a little longer. I mean, it would be so good. But no, they're leaving. Police officers are asking at least one of the parties whether she wants to press charges. And she apparently does not. And it could be the end of it. Clearly. And the officer says, just wonders if they're going to press charges, and the answer seems to be no. So we're in the midst of a meeting on issues about.
And what happened after that was a meeting of some of the Freedom Sleepers called by Freedom Sleeper Abby Samuels to discuss a possible conference she was going to have with Martin Bernal, the city manager, having heard that Bernal and others, particularly Bernal, were plotting to remove benches from the library, increase the forbidden zone times, forbidden times at City Hall, so that only during the very limited business hours at City Hall would you be allowed to be on the City Hall grounds. I guess there's some other concerns as well. I get more police officers patrolling the library. And my reaction to all this, which occasionally burst out at certain points, was that Martin Bernal and the police department are prone to make a lot of threats and indeed to take repressive actions. But it's inappropriate for us who are concerned with restoring rights of those folks outside to react to what they do, except to expose it, criticize it, and let the broader community see how their money is being wasted or spent. I suppose some would say it's being spent rather than wasted. Final decision of the evening after a lengthy discussion, some of which I may play on Sunday. Has some interest, points of interest, was Abby seemed concerned with countering Martin Bernal's claims that some city employees were having legitimate complaints about trash and feces and poo-poo and pee-pee and needles and disrespectful or threatening behavior. One city employee had said that she was resigning because she couldn't take it anymore. And, of course, my reaction to all this was, these people have homes. They have a job from 8 to 5 that are, for which they're fairly well paid, probably not as well as they should be, sure. But, you know, they don't have to worry about where they can sleep at night or where their next meal is coming from. And they are expecting some sort of privileged enclave at City Hall when there's no legal place for people to go in the city. All the shelters are closed that have any kind of space. And it's preposterous to take any of these concerns seriously. And if there really are concerns, then the police department can file charges, and the individuals who feel hurt or injured can file charges against homeless people. And the police, I am quite sure, will be happy to come in and haul them away, maybe put them into jail on $750,000 bail, or however much was charged of this guy, who was the former surfer guy, who was accused of murdering a fellow homeless person a few days ago, and then was suddenly released because it turned out there was no real indication that actually a homicide had occurred, according to the because no such finding had been done by the coroner at that point. But, you know, homeless people, there's all kinds of adequate weapons and defense for public employees. What they're really looking for, of course, is a way to immunize public employees so they can be encouraged to terrorize homeless people or to essentially humiliate them into leaving. Sneer at them enough and they'll leave. Threaten them enough and they'll leave. And that really was sort of the sum total of the kind of input I gave to this meeting, which I don't think deserved the amount of time that we gave it. But I may play some of it in the future, and you, the listeners, can be the judge.
It's time to learn your union ABCs. Just sing them and repeat them till they come right out with ease. The more you study them, the more you will know. So here's the song, sing along, and this is how it goes. You start with A. Jones would always say, in them all of the mines and mills where workers toil away. Saying, and no, nobody can treat me like a slave. Oh, go organize from the cradle to the grave. Peace for the power of a picket. Singing on and on, T and U, time.
And that was Union ABCs by Anna Boshek. Turn tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM, and listening to me. I'm Robert Norris. Colin, if you wish to respond to anything you've heard on the air, think something that should be on the air that isn't, give us a tip on where to find a studio for Free Radio, which we will be happy to rent, and give you a $500 reward if you can show us one for a year that we can rent, a 10x10 space with electricity, internet, and toilet access. 423-4833, 423-4833. Make everybody happy. And now, quick forward to Freedom Sleep Out 95, which was last Tuesday. We're going to hear a little bit from that, and then wander off into the distance. There'll be some things coming up this weekend which you might be interested in. I'll be mentioning them. You can also find them likely on Santa Cruz Indie Media, indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. And I'm here at Freedom Sleep Out 95. There's already folks. One woman lies looking at us. She's asleep on the sidewalk, and it's only 10 to 7. Sign says, "Food Not Bombs, criminalizing sleeping in the middle of a housing crisis, attempting to hide systematic failure." It looks like Jaya's brought his own chair. And here's Steve Plage doing some posting. What are you up to, Steve, with your face laptop?
I'm doing a MailChimp blast for our May 9 Housing for All, No Penalty for Poverty rally in March.
Let's not forget them survival sleepers.
We're doing a good job of forgetting the survival
sleepers. Indeed, I've been working at that very hard. Occasionally I remember them.
I was forgetting about them last night, so that was an hour well spent.
Well, you did come down here for a two-hour meeting, which might have involved a few survival sleepers sort of slipping into the meeting.
It's just,
don't get you started.
Talked about the wrong thing for an hour. You know, what can I tell you?
Well, they think.
And the worst part of it is that Gabby herself said she accepted the premise of Martine Brunel's point, was that he says, well, there are safety concerns here at City Hall because if I was sleepers, instead of saying, well, you know, instead of not accepting the premise of that, she accepted the premise and then tried to backfill it.
We have to educate him.
You can't walk back from that, my friend.
Well, you and I must try. Anything new happened in the last day that you want to report that after Thursday will be of note?
I can't think of anything right offhand. We're just working on this march and rally, so, you know.
How is that coming along? Has there been much new participation?
Students are all on board. We got, you know, the AFC sending out to their list, and ACLU sending out its list, and, you know.
How's the Association of Faith Communities?
Yeah, well, they're hopefully we're sending out a notice announcement to the entire list, so. We're hoping there will be a lot of people here and maybe a couple hundred people to sleep out.
Wouldn't that be nice? Or at least a dozen. Maybe even sleep in if they want to go to the city council.
Presuming the right to sleep hasn't been bargained away between now and then.
Well, you never can tell there.
Oh, yeah, well, there's still plenty of negotiations that yet to be had, of which we are certainly not a part, so.
Well, I'm afraid we may have to form a dissident group there, please.
Yeah, we'll start with Free.
Hey, there you go. And we've been talking with the man whose T-shirt says, ACLU is hell, war is hell. My goodness, how can you say that?
Expressing your thoughts.
Well, I see, I don't know what to say.
War is hell, war is hell.
War is hell. ACLU, on the other hand, is not hell, for heaven's sake.
I'm about to start a campaign blasting the ACLU Northern California affiliate. Stay tuned.
I see. Blaming them for all the errors of the locals. Shame on you, Steve.
And hopefully the street spirit will have Norris's quotes in there, liberally.
Robert Plaich's clerks. Yeah, I heard about those quotes. Interesting stuff.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Very, very interesting.
Articulate,
quotes.
Passionate, you know, cogent. He's quite the man.
Indeed. Anyway. Bombastic, pretentious, overwritten, the usual.
You decided not to come to the meeting.
Sorry?
The meeting, and now you're checking out the Freedom Sleepers.
Oh, is there a meeting that happened here?
Yeah, we had a meeting at 6 o'clock.
Well, give us the update on the meeting.
Everybody just was telling everybody what they've been doing, and we're trying to get some speakers. Which, of course, shockingly enough, would be Keith and Abby.
Well, naturally.
Another one of my favorite speakers, who does nothing on housing, but nevertheless, we like him, he's popular, we might as well have him too.
Well, what about Chris Crown?
Can I tell you?
Sure.
Come on, Kathy.
Let me get this.
Talking with
Sherry Cherie.
And Sherry, you're a regular survival sleeper?
Yeah, I'm a regular survival sleeper. I sleep here almost every night.
And you say that, unfortunately, some of your stuff didn't survive.
Yeah, on Thursday or Friday, I couldn't find the lock to my purse, and certain people forced me down to the lower end by the library, and that's where the cranksters and the people on drugs hang out. And suddenly they took all the pictures of the only picture I have of my dad. They took half my medical marijuana. They took all my photographs of my grandbaby. Every single year, school pictures, 30 years worth of medical marijuana cards, including a card that's good until September of this year. And, I'm really angry about it. I really am angry because I feed people here all the time. I'm always bringing food and oranges. And
you say you were forced to this area. What forced you to go down there?
Holly thought she was in charge of where everyone slept, and she's bossing everyone around. She wanted all the men to sleep by her. And I was supposed to sleep over there. And I don't want to go on that end. So I took my tarp, and I heard him talking about getting another dose of drugs or whatever. They're out running out and their teeth are all chattering. I just took my tarp and ran that way. I went, I got to get out of here. I'm in the wrong area.
Now, this was after or before your property got taken?
That was after my property got taken.
I guess the motto is don't necessarily listen to Holly when she tells you to move.
No, I'm not going to. She's not going to boss me around because she's not the queen of the Siam. She said she's the only protester, and she's the first one who started any protesting, which is a lie. She's never been here before.
Well, didn't you bring her to the Huff meeting, you silly woman?
I brought her to the Huff meeting because I didn't know that she was, like, totally out there.
Called leadership skills. Yeah.
Well, she's a tyrant. She's got a tyrant trip going on, where everyone has to be exactly where on the dot of where they signed up for at 2 o'clock or whatever, And she had like 8 suitcases lined up the whole length of Keith's car, of her all of her crap, and then she wanted to sleep after that. And I just think that she could have like condensed her own stuff and slept in a.
Will you still be coming back in spite of this?
I don't know. I feel safe with Keith and Abby, but I don't know if I'll be coming back. I might have to sleep at churches, or I just ask people to get me in a clean and sober environment. Even though I'm not an alcoholic, I want off the street that bad.
And we have been listening to
Sherry Cherie, and I have one more point. I wish that the library is going to be revamped. They're going to they allotted $6 million for a new library, and I wish that this library over here, across the way here, could be donated as a shelter for the rest of the homeless people to fit in, or a lot of them.
Not a bad idea. We've been talking with
Sherry Cherie.
Thanks, Sherry.
At the Huff Committee.
Indeed, a huffster from way back. Thank you.
A huffster and a puffster. And a midnight joker.
All right, Hokey Wokey, where's my hug? Table here is set up. Hey, Pat, any updates?
I don't think they came and raided last night. They drove by, and I pretty much told people, if you stay off the brick.
We're listening now to Pushback Pat Colby, who is outside, has been for, a better part of a year now with her brother, and is in solidarity with the Freedom Sleepers and the Survival Sleepers around City Hall. will be an event this Saturday, May 6th, at the San Lorenzo Park area. And that's going to be called Spare Change Music Festival. Free entry for all. Be the change you want to see. Blues, funk, jazz, hip-hop, dance, art, food, music, and who knows what else. Check it out and then come on back and tell me what you thought. I'm at 423-4833 in case I don't make it. And I'll be back on Sunday with another show, and maybe you will too. 9:30 on Sunday morning.